Greetings, salutations, welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 17, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit a little publication called the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, and we also host the West Texas Catholic, the audio version on GRN. We are so glad to have you joining us as we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because our guest is joining us not just for this podcast, but for next time's podcast, Dr. John Bruchalski. He is the keynote speaker for the Sunday, September 21st Respect Life Banquet at the Amarillo Civic Center. He has a fascinating story to share, and we're going to share part one of that story with you on this week's show. Plus, we'll give you a couple of news items to keep in mind as we go along as well. But first, we believe in prayer. Let us pray for religious liberty, something we should never take for granted, folks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of the Diocese of Amarillo, the Office of Communications, Cap'n, and so forth and so on. Hey, we got some really nice-looking corn and sorghum growing in this part of the world right now. Keep praying for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. May they get the timely rains they need to grow some great crops. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the confused, the disturbed. Continue to pray for vocations and for our three seminarians, Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, and Benjamin Sego, and also please pray for the 8 men in the permanent diaconate who are discerning to be ordained to the diaconate during a Mass on Saturday, December 6th at St. Mary's Cathedral. We'll have more details about that for you later. But keep all those folks in your prayers and find out more about vocations at AmarilloVocations.org. AmarilloVocations.org, your one-stop shop for everything and anything that has to do with vocations in our diocese. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you, folks. Your efforts do not go unappreciated. Do want to remind you, go to our website, AmarilloDiocese.org, WestTexasCatholic.org. There's more news under the West Texas Catholic news header. Keep that in mind, please. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Amarillo Diocese is where you'll find that. We try to post every now and then. We're going to hopefully get better with that as time goes on. Next issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, will be dated Sunday, September 21st. The deadlines are approaching, and we'll send that out as a flock note on Monday, September 15th. Do keep in mind, we are now a monthly publication. We are no longer twice a month for most of the year. We are third Sunday of the month, monthly publication from this point onward, and we thank you again for your support. The podcast, AmarilloDiocese.org/podcast. It's also our email address, stcapn@dioama.org. There's a survey there. Fill it out. Tell us what you think. How can we do better? How bad do we suck? Well, scratch that. Never mind. Let us know. We always want to make a podcast better for everyone here in the Diocese of Amarillo. We are so honored to welcome Dr. John Bruchalski to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 17, brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. The name should sound familiar because, A, he's going to be in the Diocese of Amarillo on Sunday, September 21st, but also this is a man who's a former abortionist who now has a medical practice called Tepeyac OB-GYN. We're going to talk more about that in just a second. Dr. John, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate talking to a good man from Jersey.
Oh, gentlemen, it's wonderful to be virtually in Amarillo with you all.
And you'll be here in person in just a couple of weeks. You are from the great state of Jersey, the Garden State. That's where you grew up. Talk about how devout your family's home was growing up.
My parents' grandparents on both sides landed at Ellis Island outside of New York City, right just before World War I. And my mother's side went to North Jersey. My father's side went to Baltimore. They both became butchers, bringing with them all those wonderful garlic delicacies of kielbasa and kapusta and pierogies. I have two younger brothers. My daddy was a school teacher, so he taught at a Salesian prep school. He almost became a Catholic priest. He's obviously Polish. The rosary was a daily occurrence. Praying for the conversion of Russia was a daily occurrence. Names like Faustina and Kolbe and Stein and Wojtyła Popiełuszko, those were real connections in our family. The Divine Mercy Chaplet was there. Dad was an anti-communist, so were we. We lived and breathed the Constitution, the Declaration. We lived and breathed the freedom of being a son of Bishop Carroll from Baltimore back at the founding of the states. And the faith was alive and well for us. Daddy being the school teacher of the prep school, he would take his high school boys to a March for Life every year. And I remember on a cold January day, him driving his Volkswagen over a mound, a ridge of snow plowed up that January morning. And he jumps out of the car after he came home from school, I believe in 1973, that January day. And he said, "Johnny, you wouldn't believe it. We have legalized the killing of life in the womb of mothers called abortion. No country that does that recovers." And I went back to shooting my foul shots. I was practicing on the driveway for basketball in January. And so, lo and behold, I was entrusted by my family to the educational system. So absolutely, we had a live and active faith. We were altar boys in the morning. My uncle, my mom's side of the family, was a Salesian, a member of Don Bosco, St. John Bosco. He was a priest. My dad wanted to be a priest. I'm sure he wanted me to be a priest. And he entrusted me to the Catholic school system, where I lost my way. So yeah, faith was huge in our house. May, October, June, July, all the months with all the intentions. Absolutely.
Wow. So I have to ask, where and when do you think your beliefs changed, Dr. John?
I would say that they changed like almost like C.S. Lewis, in the sense of centimeter or inch by inch. Now, I know I'm talking to the great state of Texas, and Texas is big, but the movement of the heart, and once again, I have to give a shout out to His Excellency Bishop Patrick Zurich. His motto has been very important in my life. It's called, "In Accordance with Your Heart." And my whole life revolved around the experiential aspects of the heart. And I want to do that in the beginning because, like so many of us, I'm 64, 65. I'll be 65 when I join you in September. We lived in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s in this country. The sexual revolution was in full force. Vatican II was in full chaos, moving from Latin to English, from this to that, changing the calendar, this. Prayers changed. The prayers at the foot of the altar changed. And fascinatingly, music changed. I remember in our grammar school, "Bridge Over Troubled Waters" by Simon and Garfunkel was a church song. "Stairway to Heaven" by Led Zeppelin was a church song, trying to be relevant. Well, it was relevant, all right, because inch by inch by inch, my family trusted the Catholic school system that they sent me to. And little by little by little by little by little, I became a people pleaser rather than a God-fearer, because what my mom and dad wanted to entrust to me about the truth, the beauty, the goodness of the Catholic Church, God is love, there's many ways to heaven, you can't judge, it's all okay. And I slowly, like I said, inch by inch by inch, I just began to buy certain propositions. I began to have a knack for listening to my female patients. Can you imagine? I'm an old white guy, and I'm an OBGYN, and I've been an OBGYN for over 30 years, and I'm really good at it. People come to our practice all over. Well, how is that? It's because I listened to my female patients, like many in your audience. Back then, there were a lot of my female friends, young female friends, believed in bodily autonomy, my body, my choice. Forget that my body given up for you, do this in remembrance of me. That, no. That's a lie. The real news is my body, my choice, and I can do with it what I want. Patient, male and female equality, not complementariness. Well, I want to be just like a man. I want to be able to love and leave anybody I choose, just like men have done to us for centuries, leaving us with the burden of a child. And children are burdens, by the way. So I learned that children were sexually transmitted diseases to be protected, prevented, crushed. And sometimes you had to kill. But I had a knack for listening to hormones, PMS, PMDD, PCOS. These are all languages in the lexicon of female health. And many of our females in the audience will chuckle a little bit. But yeah, I had a knack for it because I listened. And even though I knew all this was not in the lines of the teaching, I wanted to please them and please my teachers. And so when I got into medical school, you know, I went to a Salesian high school, I went to a Jesuit college, and I learned how to be comfortable with my conscience with all these things. So when I got to medical school and I got presented with performing an abortion, I did it. So it's a long answer, but I think that is how I slowly got swept away in the cultural tide. And that's one of the reasons why today I don't really throw stones at people, because once misery meets mercy and you are forgiven and you forgive, repent and believe, there's no turning back. So I don't throw stones at anybody. And, it was just one little item after another, guys.
So when was your Damascus moment, Dr. John?
So Damascus moment. I get into my residency and I'm doing everything. I was at Eastern Virginia School of Medicine, the home of the first IVF, the first test tube baby in this country. So I was I was only a resident. Because remember, I was never an abortionist, meaning that's the only thing I did. I did it as a part of my education, just like many of us believe assumptions like communism is good, social action is better than truth, truth is relative, relative is the way of the world, how we see things. But we buy a lot of lies or ideas, I won't say lies, ideas in education, especially in college. And then it gets reinforced because by the time I got to medical school in 1983, reproductive health was contracept people from 12 to 55, put them on hormones from 55 till they died. Provide abortion as a backup to contraception, but it's not even a backup. It's on demand for any reason because it's abortion on demand. And that's what I bought into. So here I am in my residency and I'm doing all of that, guys. I'm doing all of it. And yet the data is now coming in, abortion and breast cancer. Abortion and premature birth. You know, we were telling people abortion is like taking a tooth out. It's like an appendectomy. It's not a big deal. You can do this. It's going to be good for you. Please give it a time. It'll work. It's okay. Well, the data starts coming in over time, folks. And I'm like, wait a second. Why is this happening? That's number one. Number two is, I began to do procedures into the second and third trimester. So when you move through that progression, folks, you have to dismember preborn human life surgically. Because we were beginning to do chemical abortions back then, which is a whole nother issue that we can talk about. But abortion was pretty much purely surgical at this point. The surgery is brutal. It's women were coming in because remember, I'm now 10 to 20 years after Roe was pushed. Post-abortion syndrome was real. Women were coming in regretting their abortion. Women were coming in regretting their contraceptive decisions. Women were coming in regretting their broke relationships. They were talking about depression, despair, anxiety, resentment, anger. They began to, I don't want to be a woman anymore, or I don't want to date men. I'm going to date women now. And everything, the fruits of the sexual revolution, what we thought was pure freedom and choice, well, that's all coming in around me. And believe it or not, guess what? One night, on my way to the beach, I'm now volunteering at a pregnancy resource center. Yeah, one of those pro-life centers. Well, I was a little worm. I never told them what I was doing. And lo and behold, one night on labor and delivery, in the midst of all that, I had a moment where I performed an abortion. And I'll talk more about this when I speak at the pro-life gathering in your diocese. But I had a moment that was a failed abortion that I tried to complete after the child was born. The NICU doctor, after the child was saved, and we'll talk the details. I'll leave that tease for the talk.
Sure.
I'll be darned. That NICU doctor challenged me and said, "You're better than this. Let's have coffee." After she talked to me, and then my mother, believe it or not, serendipitously, but of course not, because in God's way, she invited me on a trip. We went overseas. And on a hill on that trip, I came face to face with mercy.
Mm.
And I went face down on the rocks, a man of unclean lips in a land of unclean lips. And I was loved for the first time in my life. I came off that hill. I'll talk more about it at the talk. So anybody out there who would like to support our Diocese of Amarillo, please do. They do good work. This diocese, your bishop, his motto, in accordance with his heart, with accordance with your heart, Lord. Transforming hearts through healthcare became my mantra coming off the hill. I was a new child. I was recreated. I was blind, but now I saw. I had to go finish my residency, and I was given a way to practice medicine on the hill from Mercy, capital M, Divine Mercy, capital D and a capital M. Talk more about those details at the talk. You know, Paul on his way got knocked off. Well, when you get knocked off a horse or you fall down on rocks, it's a jolting experience because you're coming face to face with not only justice and truth and power, but most importantly, you're coming face to face, gaze to gaze with love. And I really believe that the world today has bought lies about the church, about God, their relationship with Jesus Christ, their relationship with the Mother of God, the relationship with saints, the relationship with the Mass. We just bought lies. And we're living that in fear and anxiety because we really don't appreciate who our Abba is, Daddy. And so, that was my Damascus moment, buddy.
We will continue the conversation with Dr. John Bruchalski on the next episode of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, which will be obviously episode 18, and that will drop on Friday, August 29th, just in time for the Labor Day weekend. A couple of quick items of things you need to know about: the 84th annual Nazareth Labor Day picnic and fundraiser to benefit Holy Family Church coming up on Labor Day weekend, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, August 31st. Mass at 8 o'clock at Holy Family Church, 9 o'clock, bake shop opens for business, a parade at 10 o'clock. Following the parade, all-day activities for children and adults, including a raffle, bingo, and yes, Cow Patty Bingo is back again. A roast beef lunch is served from 11 until 2. There's outdoor games and other children's games starting up at 12:30. An auction begins at 1:30. After the auction, a hamburger supper and a cornhole tournament at 6:30. Get all the details by calling Holy Family Church in Nazareth, 806-945-2616. To our friends that love to participate in a Curcio, a men's Curcio is set for Thursday, September 4th through Sunday, September 7th. It will be conducted entirely in Spanish at the Franciscan Sisters of Mary Immaculate Convent at 4301 Northeast 18th Street. Cost of the Cursillo, which again will be conducted entirely in Spanish, $150 per person. Contact your parish Ultrea representative for additional information or to get signed up. Before we wrap up this week's edition of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, we are joined by producer extraordinaire who came up with that great line, powered by Cap'n, brought to you by the Diocese of Amarillo, although I get it inverted all the time. David Wilson joining us for a couple of minutes. Hope you saw the ad on page 2 of the latest issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper. We have been saying this for the longest time. This isn't just the podcast. It's a podcast network.
That's right.
And now we're starting to expand, and we are encouraging others to hopefully join us on this journey and host a podcast. And you know who you are. We're not going to call you out this time, but you've got two items of note that you want to share.
I do. We're going to become the ABC of podcasts. We have the Carlo Acutis Podcast Network, and we've got two new podcasts joining our network with the West Texas Catholic, the podcast.
Okay.
So mark September 8th on your calendars. We have an episode of Spiritual Arms, 5 minutes for the battle, dropping at 7 a.m. to help you start your Monday, to help you start your week, and it's just 5 minutes.
And how often are we going to run that? Every week or every other 2 weeks?
So that podcast is in collaboration with the Knights of Columbus Council 1450, which is at St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you.
And our host is Joshua Correa, fantastic young man, very strong in his faith, and we're excited to have him. And we're going to drop an episode every single week, every Monday at 7 a.m.
Spiritual Warfare for the Week. We're going to have you in good company with that. 5 minutes with Joshua Correa, starting Monday, September 8th, 7 o'clock, here on Cap'n.
And the great thing about this, Chris, is we're going to look at Scripture, not just New Testament, but we're looking at New Testament, Old Testament. We're connecting it to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we're going to give you practical tips on how to apply this in your faith life.
Excellent. So be looking for that starting Monday, September 8th. And coming next year, I'm still kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? That may be the word right there. Introverted.
Yeah. So this one I'm really excited about. I actually identify as an introvert. I have to have silent time to recharge. And there are so many people in our parish communities that are introverts, but they don't know how to get started getting involved in their parish community. Or maybe they're reluctant to because they're like, well, I just don't like being around large crowds. I just don't like the idea of being around all these people and having to engage with them. And it's scary for an introvert. We like to sit back. We like to watch. We like to observe. And we like to use our strengths in the areas that we feel they can be used the best.
But you're still not an introvert, bud. I'm sorry. You're too much of an extrovert. You could have fooled me, okay?
Right. So the Introverted Apostle is going to be hosted by myself and Roman Asbill. For those of you who know Roman,
he's not an introvert either.
Well, he identifies as an introvert as well.
I know.
So we're going to just sit there and stare at each other for about half an hour. No, I'm just joking.
Oh my gosh, that may be the best podcast we have on the network, folks.
But what we're going to tackle is we're actually going to have guests from around the Texas Panhandle, and we're going to talk about the ways an introvert can get involved in their parish community, how they can overcome some of those challenges, the things that we are reluctant about, the things that kind of make us nervous. And we're going to talk about those things and the best way for introverts to get involved in the parish community.
So be looking for these two podcasts, even though David and Roman claim to be introverts. I work with them every day. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. We're trying to expand the network. And if you've got ideas on how to make this even better, or maybe you have an idea for a show yourself.
Yes, that would be great.
That would be fantastic. Send us an email, stcapn@dioama.org.
And as always, be sure to check out all of our offerings at stcapn.com. That's stcapn.com.
Once again, we've got the Joshua Correa podcast starting up Monday, September 8th, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Oh, we're going to give you 5 minutes. And then the Introverted podcast coming in January of 2026, which I'm kind of looking forward to seeing this fold out. We'll see. David, thank you for all the hard work you've done in doing what you've done with this studio and with this network. And may God continue to richly and abundantly bless you and your family, sir.
Thank you.
And again, we thank Dr. John Bruchalski for joining us earlier on the podcast. He will continue that conversation with us on the next podcast, dropping on Friday, August 29th during the lunch hour. And again, if you've got comments, suggestions, maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of CAPN. If you're interested, email us, stcapn@dioama.org, this time a little slower, stcapn@dioama.org. And don't forget to fill out the form at stcapn.com. We want to hear from you. This podcast needs to be better than it is, and by the grace of God, it will be. Have yourselves a fantastic day. Remember, abortion is not and never will be health care. Viva Cristo Rey.